and welcome to another episode of Big Sad Fun, a sports podcast. My name is James Johnson, and I am here with my co-host,
Edward Dickey.
Edward, we have a guest today, and I'm going to let you do the introduction.
Yeah, I'll try and do one similar to the one I did last time. Today we have a guest who is a big deal. He is a broadcaster for ESPN. Usually we make a joke saying that our guests are our senior blank analyst. But I don't think we can do that because he's actually someone's senior analyst. Tom Hart is in studio today.
Not a big deal. I'm just the guy who's running carpool. I happen to walk in and say, yeah, let's talk big, sad fun.
We got to oversell things sometimes.
Yeah, I understand.
It's great to have you here, man. Thank you so much for joining us.
Sure.
So here, our big deal is we're going to talk about what's big, sad, and fun in sports. This week, we're going to start with our big, and we're going to talk about March Madness. Let's talk about the Final Four.
Let's do it.
Edward, you want to lead us off with some comments?
For all the chaos that we got leading into the Elite Eight, it's four blue bloods. Yeah. And you can say Villanova's not a blue blood, but at this point, I think
they've been pretty good the last few years.
I mean, what is it? Three Final Fours in the last 6 years?
That's a Hall of Fame coach.
Absolutely. And I mean, I think, so, you know, as much as I wanted St. Pete to get in, you know, Duke, North Carolina in the Final Four, which, how is it possible they haven't played each other?
It's insane.
I thought of the same thing.
Yeah, when I heard
I figured
that.
They had to have at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, two blue bloods, you would definitely, and who are perennially in the tournament, you would think it would have just kind of backed its way into itself at this point.
Yeah, so they had never met before. This is their 100th meeting. I think it's 50.
You're just saying a bunch of numbers.
50,
right now.
49. Yeah. This is going to be their 100th.
That was your locker combination.
Yeah. That's right. So how do we feel about the games? We've got Kansas and Villanova, and we got Duke, North Carolina. It did turn out to be pretty much chalk the way, I mean, it kind of looks that way anyway. North Carolina is an 8 seed, but.
And I mean, they're still a really good team. This isn't, you know, Miami, a 10 seed, you know, right, find their way into the Final Four. This is still, North Carolina is a very good team. I mean, I think it's just like every other round, I think it's going to come down to guard play.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think Kansas once again is the best team on paper. But I mean, that young forward, I'm blanking on his name.
Ochai Agbaji.
There it is.
Wow.
Say that again. Say that three times fast. Yeah, there we go.
I wasn't going to say it because I'm pretty sure I was going to offend somebody with how I pronounce it, but he is a player, man. And I think over at Duke, man, they have a bunch of great players too. It's going to be a wild Final Four.
And what a classic matchup. You couldn't ask for something better here in the Final Four with Krasinski's last game, and you've got North Carolina, who they lost to in the SEC tournament. Tom, what's your feel? What's your feel on this game?
Yeah, I'd like I'm not allowed to say that I like Kansas because I'm a Missouri grad.
Oh, wow. Yeah, right. Yeah, definitely.
So that's definitely against the rules, but I will
say, who do you think will win? Not who
anyway. Yeah, no, that's fair. But I just want to throw this in. Ochai Agbaji is not just a great player. He's a great guy. So I had a Kansas game earlier this season, and I was there for a Friday night practice, and I think I was the only person in Allen Fieldhouse that wasn't associated with the team. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you kind of stand out, right? Even if nobody in there had any clue who I was, they were like, okay, this guy's different than the red. You know, he's not wearing red and blue. And they came out for early shooting, and Ochai Agbaji's out there shooting free throws and stuff and just comes right over and introduces himself.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
Hi, yeah. I'm Ochai Agbaji. How are you doing? How's your weekend? How was your travel? Like, what? Like, you know, college kids are college kids. They usually don't care about other people. It's kind of how teenagers work,
college,
right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm a fan of him. I'm a fan of his game. He was lightly recruited. Bill Self had to build this roster differently because he's used to getting the McDonald's All-Americans and the superstars that were five-star recruits. Then a little thing called the FBI came calling, and the NCAA started investigating. And they said, oh, we got to change the way we recruit. And so they got a bunch of guys that – they weren't superstars. They've developed and they've turned into great players. Christian Brown is a great player. Remy Martin, who transferred in, is a really good player. But what I like about Kansas is they have very defined roles. Their point guards are point guards.
Right.
Their shooting guards are shooting guards. Their forwards are forwards. Their centers are centers. And everybody fits kind of nicely in their own little spot. And as a result, you don't get any of this cross-contamination, whose turn is it to do X or Y. It's, no, we're going to run a play for him, and everybody knows what the play is. So I agree. I think Kansas, not just by seeding, I think they're the best team remaining. I think Duke probably has the best talent out of all the remaining teams, if that makes sense.
It does.
That actually does. It's funny you say that with, say his name again.
Ochai Agbaji.
Ochai Agbaji.
Like you said, that reminds me when Kansas was in Atlanta for the Final Four in the early 2000s, my family got to be the host family.
Oh.
And,
oh,
wow. Drew Gooding and Kurt Heinrich were so much nicer to a very young me than they had to be. Those guys will always be in my favorite players. I don't care what they did.
They stayed with you?
No, not with us, but we were like, we would make dinner reservations for them and like show them the city.
So you got to hang out with them a little bit.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
I got to leave school early to do it.
I had no idea.
That's awesome. Really cool.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it was just one of those weird things that my dad kind of lucked into.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure when he hears this, he's going to say, I didn't luck into it.
I earned that.
Yeah, I'm going to get a very angry phone call from a man driving to Highlands.
That's really that's cool awesome. That he listens to your podcast.
he's one of like six.
So this podcast is for your dad.
Yeah.
Basically. Now I know our audience.
We want Edward's dad to know that he's doing something with it. You talked about Ochi. What's his NBA prospects looking like?
He'll get a chance. He's not a guarantee, you know, like, hey, this guy's gonna play for 15 years and make $20 million a year. He's athletic, he can shoot, he's got good size. At the NBA, it's at that level, and I only dabble in it, right?
I cover mainly
college stuff, but at that level you can't just be a good shooter. You have to be a guy who never misses.
Right.
That's the difference between in any sports between pros and amateurs is their execution and the ability to repeat what they do.
Right.
But yeah, I mean there's honestly better prospects on other teams.
Yeah.
So
Wendell Carter.
Yeah. So I just love that you mentioned this Duke Carolina game. The fact that Mike Krzyzewski's done in two games, if not one, the team that loses that game, I think the loss is gonna hurt worse than the joy from winning, if that makes sense.
Absolutely.
Because I think nothing would make North Carolina happier than to send them out.
Oh, that last game at Cameron when they sent Krzyzewski packing by winning the last game was that was great theater, right? They weren't supposed to win that game. They weren't supposed to be that good.
So we're expecting a tight game there, right? This is not going to be Duke or North Carolina running away with it, right?
I would assume not.
We've got Duke, I think, is favored by 4 right now. They're laying 4. But that's a game I think I have not – I'll be honest with you. I have not watched a lot of the games in the tournament this year so far.
What have you been doing?
I'm just kind of
when you work
in
a church during Lent, you get a little busy these days.
You do. I've seen a couple of games, but that's a game I'm definitely going to be turning into.
I think everyone's going to be tuning into that game. The ratings on that game alone is going to be crazy.
It's going to be insane.
And what's going to be really cool is, I think what you'll see is so many of those players, that rivalry means so much. I think what you see is so many – those schools and those programs have so many superstars that have played for them in the past. Like, whether Michael Jordan's going to be there or not, I don't know. But everybody else of import, even if they're playing in the NBA right now, they're going to jump on a jet. They're going to show up in New Orleans for that game, and that place is going to be full of stars.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Wasn't Steph Curry at the last Duke game?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, yeah, it's just
hanging out.
He didn't play at Duke, but.
There's also a I'm trying to find it. I saw it today on social media. Eric Church has canceled his concert Saturday so he could go to the Final Four because he's such a big Carolina fan.
That's amazing.
That is amazing.
I love to see that level of excitement about a college game.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think the last one was, oddly enough, Duke North Carolina, the one with Zion, where Zion's shoe blew up.
Yeah, Barack Obama's sitting in the first row.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
She's so wild that former president is when you zoom out, it is an amateur competition,
right,
between people who go to two different schools.
Yeah, you got North Carolina Duke. This is one of the biggest rivalries in sports, right, in the history of sports.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. This is Ohio State Michigan, this is Yankees Red Sox, Dallas Cowboys, and I guess we're calling the Commanders now. This is huge. I think we got, from what I'm hearing from you guys, I'm thinking Kansas and Duke in the national championship.
I think that would be chalk, right? Villanova's a 2.
Yeah.
And, Villanova's got that guy hurt, which hasn't stopped him yet.
Huge
but I think,
deal, though.
I think up against Kansas, you might need him. So, I'm going to go Duke. Duke, Kansas.
Wow, we're really boring. We're just going to go talk. Huh?
You know, sadly, now that's not going to happen. It's going to be North Carolina, Villanova.
Well, I'm the one who said that Purdue was going to blow out St. Peter's by 20 points. And
you did say that.
Yeah, so that's my college basketball experience is not great.
while we have you. You obviously follow the SEC college scene very.
Yeah, what happened? What happened to the SEC basketball teams, by the way?
They didn't get the invitation to the big dance. They got lost in the mail.
I was predicting two of them in the Final Four.
You're such a homer.
Oh, 100%.
Which two did you have?
I went Arkansas and Kentucky.
I say Kentucky makes sense.
Similar to you, I thought Arkansas would have more success than the other teams. They had four elite teams this year, right?
Yeah.
Arkansas, Kentucky, Auburn, and Tennessee. But if you followed Auburn, they weren't the same team late in the year that they had been in, especially December.
Yeah, I remember
January.
Missouri fans chanting overrated at the end of the game.
Yeah, but that's the dumbest chant in the history.
Especially after you lost.
Regardless, if you won, take credit for beating a team that was ranked high.
Yeah, like, that's right.
You don't want to denigrate
them. You went to school there.
I know.
Yeah,
we're not
the mindset there?
It's a public education. It's a public institution. So if you took the SEC as a whole and you just tried to say, well, the SEC failed in the postseason, I mean, it's fair, but once you then dial into like how these teams performed and what happened, I thought the Walker Kessler injury late in the year, I saw him at the SEC tournament. He looked really limited. Mm-hmm. He won the same player in the tournament. He had to be a great rim protector and defensive player of the year, but wasn't playing like it late in the year. And they had a hard time winning away from home. So they were a different team at the end of the season. Tennessee had Santiago Vescovi. They took him out of the game. No one else stood up and was able to play. Kentucky was a different team late in the year due to some injuries. And Arkansas was a team that had postseason experience. So I thought they would have some success. Mm-hmm. But they're just, you know, you're missing pieces relative to the four teams we have left standing, not relative to the St. Peter's of the world or even Purdue or other teams that, you know, have had success. There's a separator once you get to the Final Four.
That makes sense. So one more question. Obviously, only one more on college basketball.
Okay.
Obviously being a Georgia fan, what did you think about the hire of, Mike White?
I like Mike. I think he's a great coach.
I like Mike. I remember that ad campaign.
We're all singing the song in our head. I think he's a great coach. Georgia needs to decide what it wants to be, right? Because in this day and age of name, image, and likeness and the way players can get supported financially, it's no longer enough to hire a coach and pay him millions of dollars. It's about the community and the athletic department pooling their resources and saying football matters enough that we're going to do X. Basketball matters enough that we're going to do Y, and we're going to put money towards these individuals to not only support them and show that they're supported, but to get the best players we can on campus. And that's really what it comes down to. When Kirby went in there, took the football job, a message was sent from not only above, but, and I'm not talking the heavens, although Georgia fans would think differently, a message was sent that Mark Richt wasn't good enough. We're here to win and compete for championships. And then when Kirby got in there, he sent that same message. The way you've done it was good enough for what you had. And if you want to be a championship program, we need more investment, however you define that. So Georgia basketball needs to ask themselves that question. Do we want to make that investment?
Yeah.
And I've always said, with all the talent that comes out of the state, it is a crying shame that seemingly the best program is Georgia State. It has never not made me mad for basketball.
You're seething right now.
Yes.
Don't go Will Smith and slap me.
Hey, remember, you won the national championship. Remember that. Just keep that in mind.
I'm only a happy man for so long.
I realize that. This guy wins the national championship in Georgia and the Braves win the World Series. And we still can't keep you happy.
Yeah, and I'm still mad about Freddie Freeman.
We still got the Falcons.
Listen, as a sports fan, there's either always something to be excited about or always something to be mad about.
That's right.
You just have to decide what your perspective is going to be.
Yeah, what a very stoic philosophy. The stoicism of
that
sports
was,
right
that
there.
Was wild.
I like it.
Yeah, no, but
I did watch Freddie taking a bat in a Dodgers uniform yesterday, and it looked really weird.
Now, you were with the Braves, too, for a while.
I was the bullpen catcher.
I remember you had one of my favorite interviews with that utility infielder who we brought in who did all the impressions.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Elliot.
Yes.
Yeah. That guy. Never forget old what's his name.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He did a Harry Carey impersonation, and after he hit a game-winning triple, he did an entire interview as a NASCAR driver.
Oh, wow.
And afterwards, he went around the stadium, and he thanked all these sponsors, and we finished the interview. It was great. Like, he just got into character. He's a really funny guy, Elliot Johnson. And
that sounds like a NASCAR name.
He finished, and I said, dude, how did you think of all those sponsors, right? Like, how did you just rattle off Time Warner Cable and Budweiser and AT&T and the roofing company and the bug company? And you guys remember Kaiser Sose, right?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
He was all about everything that was in the room.
He was just looking around.
He said, I just looked over your shoulder at the sponsorships, and I saw Time Warner Cable, and I saw Budweiser, and I saw Coca-Cola.
That's brilliant. Yeah.
That's amazing.
That's awesome.
The biggest trick the devil ever played was making us think that Elliot Johnson was not a NASCAR driver.
I always really liked him, but a couple more postseason hits.
He likes you too,
hits.
By the way.
Yeah.
A couple more postseason hits would have been nice there. But he was always a good player.
See, once again, glass half
see,
full.
Exactly.
I always liked him,
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, how about just
saying.
In the sentence there? Yeah, like, I always liked him.
I'll work on that.
Okay.
This is why we got the sad part of our podcast here, because we got to deal with Edwards.
Although, I don't really have anything to be sad about today.
You really don't.
I mean, this is definitely forcing into the bit, into our gimmick. But I'm sad for other golfers because it seems like Tiger Woods is going to be playing in the Masters.
It seems like he might. He gave it a shot yesterday. I don't know how that went. I didn't get a report back on that. I have a guy. Yeah, I have a guy.
You got a guy?
I was calling anybody I knew in Augusta. Like, hey, I know I haven't seen you since like high school, but have you seen Tiger Woods?
I saw Rory come out today and said it would be amazing if he opted in and decided to play today. But I didn't see any other reports. I don't know if we know anything about that. But
I think
as of
right now,
today is Monday. No, today's
Wednesday.
Today's Wednesday. Man, the week got going.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
So
the fact that he hasn't said he's not playing,
yeah.
I'm taking as a positive.
Well and Augusta's a little bit different, right? I mean, if Tiger Woods is considering playing, he can go right up until Thursday morning and say, you know what, I don't think I can go. And they would be more than happy with it, right?
Yeah.
If you tried to do that at a PGA event, they would say, no, you got in or out, right? Augusta National plays by its own rules.
That's right.
Right? They're like Outback Steakhouse.
That's right. That's right.
So, like good and bad. So, if Tiger says, hey, listen, I'm going to play a practice round Tuesday, and I'll be out there Wednesday, and let's see how my leg feels Thursday morning, if it can take the wear and tear of a couple practice rounds, that's not an easy course to walk. You've been there?
Right.
I've been there once. Twice.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, people who, I mean, obviously, I'm sure a lot of our listeners, all six of them, have it's in their wheelhouse. But if you're just watching on TV, it's hard to see the undulation. It's hard to see the elevation changes. Like, before I ever went, I had no idea. I think it's 10. 10 is, like, straight downhill and then straight back uphill.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's just one example of it. So I can't imagine that'd be really easy on his leg.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd love to see him get out there and give a shot, though. If he can do it at all. If he can get out there and do it all. Give us anything. It'd be great.
I will say, if he wins, it is a... And I'm obviously talking in absolutes.
Wow, if he wins.
Yeah,
right?
if he really moved the goalposts here.
Wow.
It is the single greatest comeback accomplishment for
him. Well,
he's
already done that, though. I mean,
but imagine if he does it again.
He will eventually. I think he'll do it eventually. But maybe this year that's a little bit too much pressure to put on.
I mean, I'm going to take it.
Tiger. Let me ask you this. Would you rather see Tiger try to play, say, on Thursday morning, and look terrible and fall apart and have to withdraw, or wait until he's healthier to come back and really give it a go, whether that's, you know, the British Open or back in Augusta next year, whatever that might be?
Out of those two options, definitely wait.
I don't know. So let me play devil's advocate to that then and say the effort of going out there and trying speaks magnitudes of his sportsmanship, right? And his respect for the game and his love and passion for the game. So maybe that's an inspiring thing and not just necessarily a...
But you don't really want to see Superman bleed.
You don't. But sometimes you got to.
Yeah. But, you know, I think...
No, that's a great analogy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
But I definitely think the fact that he's giving it a try means that we will eventually see him...
Oh, he's definitely coming back.
Which is you know, when that first happened, I thought, all right, well, like, he might as well just go into announcing.
I have to tell you, man, like, watching him come up that back nine in 2019 with the lead and just in charging like he does, you know, that might have been the greatest thing I've seen in sports personally, like, seen, you know, I wasn't personally there, I guess, but I've seen in my lifetime, right? That was just a great moment. So I would love to see that happen again. I don't expect that to happen this weekend.
Ever, I don't expect it, but I'm saying if it does, it would be the
amazing,
most amazing thing.
It's,
now,
what's funny is, like, Tiger Woods, maybe Tom Brady, I don't know, modern players, LeBron, like, these guys have outperformed so many times that they've raised their expectations for what is normal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, it's not normal to have a quarterback Tom Brady's age still out there winning Super
Bowls. That's exactly
It's not supposed to work like that. LeBron's not supposed to be one of the best players in the game still at this age. Father Time catches up with everybody, and it will catch up with them, but these three guys specifically, because they're active now, have totally skewed our vision of what we think is what's possible for a modern athlete.
That's exactly right. Especially for them individually. Like if Tiger doesn't go out there and try, we're almost like, well, come on, man. Like, what are you going to do? Just kick back and watch TV instead?
Yeah, you get something better to do?
Yeah, right. LeBron goes out and scores like 12 points. We're like, what? I mean, dude.
I paid money for this.
Yeah, like, exactly. Right?
See, what, a 38-year-old man play basketball?
I wonder if that speaks more to just their personal drive or how sports have become much better at, like, medicating their players and therapy and physical therapy. And you know, making their athletes better and stronger. You know,
Tom Brady and his avocado ice cream.
That's
yeah.
I have read today that avocados cut your heart disease rate down to like 21%. So
this is a health tip.
It's a health tip
from James Johnson.
Brought to you by James Johnson.
So I'm gonna have guac with my nachos tonight.
I think if you put salt on it, counteracts the.
You said Tom Brady's not having nachos. No, I think to answer your question, I think a large part of it is the science behind taking care of your body is so much greater now. And what they pay for is even greater than what the average Joe can get. And the studies that they're doing on their body composition allows them to maximize it for years and years. You mentioned the fact that I worked for the Braves for a while. And traveling on the road with a Major League Baseball team, you learn quickly. It's not about the wear and tear on a body that occurs from, I don't know, collisions or sliding into second or throwing too many pitches. As much as it is just having the energy to go out there and give it your best every day when you're doing it every single day, right? You get one day off a week and you got to get on a plane and fly to the West Coast and fly back. And taking care of your body and being mentally, you know, having the mental acuity to rise up to that challenge every day is a lot.
Yeah.
It's not about the years, it's about the mileage. I think Indiana Jones said that.
That's like,
there you go.
Was that before he threw the guy into the propeller?
That's a great question. I think it was before. Yeah.
But like, I dabble in being a boxing fan, and I'll go back and look at
being a boxing fan.
When I watch the big fights, but I'll go back and look at some of the, like.
So you're a pay-per-view fan.
Exactly.
Yeah. I love the NHL, but only in the playoffs.
Yeah.
That's
accurate.
Right,
But just like the diet that some of those old fighters would have. I mean, they would go out and get really drunk the night before a fight. And now it's like you can't do any of that if you're a prize fighter. It's just wild how much times have changed.
Yeah, the bronze bomber doesn't look like he's had too many butt heavies, does he?
No. I heard his diet. And because he's naturally like 200 pounds. But
I saw Deontay Wilder in the drive through at Chick-fil-A.
Actually?
No.
Because I saw him at a Chevron once. he was
Was he getting chicken on his stick?
He was putting gas into his gold Maserati.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Which,
there you go.
When you're 6'8 and chiseled with a gold Maserati, I realize who you are pretty quickly.
Yeah,
it's pretty recognizable.
Well, that's the only reason I don't drive my gold Maserati.
So I went with the black
one. You just don't want people seeing you.
Yeah.
So let's shift now.
That's why I drive my invisible car.
Wonder Woman. Let's shift now to our fun segment of our podcast and talk about this sports movie bracket.
I
kind of
thought that was
it.
Fun.
Well,
the whole thing's fun.
It was, okay. But let's have a little bit of a different kind of fun. Let's have
we have a gimmick.
Kind of fun. So we need your help, Tom, with a particular lineup here, or a matchup, I should say.
We did a Twitter poll and it came out.
We did a Twitter poll, it came out 50-50. So we need you to help decide.
What's the matchup?
So the matchup is that it is Dodgeball versus Happy Gilmore.
Oh.
So right now our Twitter poll is 50-50 on this one.
You can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball.
You can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball.
Patches of Houlihan.
Dip, dodge, dive. How did dodgeball upset Talladega Knights?
Yeah.
Twitter poll.
Am I the deciding vote?
Are we the deciding vote here?
Do I have to defend my vote?
Well, just no. Yeah, you can think it through if you want to talk through it.
Well, to
fine.
Me, dodgeball is a classic, but Happy Gilmore is kind of a when I think of Happy Gilmore, I think of a collection of all my favorite Adam Sandler movies.
Yes, yes.
So it represents, to me, his whole catalog.
Yeah, okay.
Right?
Yeah.
So, you know, you could go into, I'm the shampoo, I clean the hair. The conditioner, I make it shiny and smooth. you know,
look at me, Swan.
I could go there. Yeah. That's where it takes me. But the classic sports movie, the fact that they had real people in the movie, I think, separates it a little bit.
Right.
You know, Lee Trevino was in the movie. Bob Barker got punched in the face.
Yeah.
I mean, Lance Armstrong was in dodgeball.
Well, that's a disqualification, isn't
it? I would think that's a mark against dodgeball these days.
Yeah, that whole scene is so much funnier now.
it's
all talking about how he like refuses to quit and he's against cheating and
oh wow.
Yeah, it's really funnier now in hindsight.
That being said, in dodgeball you do have the Ocho.
You do have the Ocho. But so, by the way, do you think Lance Armstrong thought when he read the script? Like, was he chuckling to himself a little bit? Like, oh these people have no idea. I think the other aspect of this is we give Happy the win, and then you're going head-to-head to Caddyshack.
Right. That's a
could be a big showdown.
All right, let's get Happy the win.
Yeah,
then.
I'm a big Adam Sandler fan. He's a guy that it looks like he enjoys what he does.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You can tell by the people, like he puts his friends in his movies, that he wants to be around people that he... And like to have that kind of money, we can be like, hey, listen, we've got a multi-million-dollar project, but instead of following any rules, I just want all my buddies to do it.
I'm going to put Steve in from high school. Is that all right? Yeah. No, I like that. That's good.
We're going to go film it at the beach, all of us, and go on vacation.
When I was a teenager, Happy Gilmore came out when I was like 15. And I remember watching it. Yeah, it was perfect, right? Happy Gilmore and Billy Madison. I watched those nonstop back to back with Tommy Boy. Just over and over and over again.
Luke,
so,
I am your father.
Brothers don't shake hands. All right, excellent. So let's walk down then what we have here left. In our baseball bracket, we've got Field of Dreams, the number one seed, going up against Moneyball, which was another win from the Twitter poll. Number four seed, Moneyball. So what do we got, Field of Dreams or Moneyball, guys?
Wait, Moneyball beat Bull Durham?
I know. Again, Twitter is, I think, backstabbing us here, man.
You know, I'll take it up with my friends on Reddit, who I got to vote in this.
Because I definitely would have gone Bull Durham, and I did go Bull Durham, in fact.
It's really hard for me not to go chalk. Plus, this is the point in the conversation where I admit I've never seen Moneyball.
Really?
Yeah.
It's a good movie. You get a little lost in kind of the math of it all, which I think it discredits Moneyball a little bit.
I was promised there'd be no math on this.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so I think Field of Dreams. We're going to go number one seed Field of Dreams on that one.
I mean, Field of Dreams is like in my top five movies.
Yeah,
all
you
time.
Say that every time. I feel like this is just going to be a Field of Dreams bracket.
Well, another movie from my top five is in this.
All right, what about The Sandlot versus The Natural?
I'm tempted to go away from chalk, as The Natural's certainly a classic, but Sandlot just makes you feel good all
over. It does.
Over.
It does. And
Harkening back to like what we love about sports, right? Playing with your friends instead of...
You got a theme here.
Got to be a theme. Instead of, you know, running away from a mistress who's going to stab you in the middle of the night.
You're running away from a dog that might...
The scary dog that represents adulthood and everything exactly scary about
really
the
good.
Mortgage. I cleaned my shower drain the other day. That was miserable. So, I'm going to Sandlot. You guys can
Edward,
talk me out of it.
What do you think, man?
I'm going Sandlot as well. And we've talked about it before, the third act of that movie is... Where he's just like free running for an entire day
with PF Flyers, man.
Yeah, and then him stealing home at the end.
All right, but The Natural. Let me just say, let me make one comment about The Natural, which is probably my second favorite baseball movie of all time. That home run at the end, right when he's bleeding out the side, and he shatters the lights and the sparks come down.
I mean, but at this point, you got good on good, and so you got to pick one. And I'm going.
Let's go with the upset. Let's go. Sandlot.
I mean, we can throw it.
Twitter has done nothing but.
You have a good point.
I feel like we've got two on three here. I feel like we can go Sandlot here.
All right.
So the natural goes down.
Bye-bye.
All right. Then we move on to our basketball. We got Hoosiers versus Coach Carter. And I'm going to go chalk on this one. Hoosiers is one of the best movies of all time. That's basketball. Well,
of all time. I don't know how you vote against Hoosiers.
All right.
Gladiator was good, but like.
Oh, we could have put that in here. That's a sport.
Actually, someone made that argument to me.
Is that right?
Coach Carter is very good, but I think they're really running to a buzzsaw again. And I mean, Hoosiers is, you know.
This is going to be all number one seeds in the Final Four. All right.
Where's the St. Peter's of this bracket?
Yeah, right. I think it might be Sandlot now, which is the third seed. all right, so let's talk about Space Jam Semi-Pro. This is one that I think we could throw to Twitter if you wanted to.
Both comedies, yeah.
Just because they're both comedies, they're not great movies, but they're funny.
You take that
they're
back.
Good. I'm not as big of a
Semi-Pro
fan.
Is
not
amazing.
As big of a fan of Semi-Pro as you are, but. Well, Space Jam was
formative. Leave it to the Twitter audience. I think that's a good option.
I think that's a good idea. All right, then just jump over to football. Remember the Titans versus We Are Marshall.
Oof.
That's a big one.
Now, both based on true stories.
Okay.
But I will say We Are Marshall might have been a little more faithful to the true story.
Oh, you want to use that as a criteria?
Maybe, but Remember the Titans also, you know, that's in my top five.
This
so
is
it's
where
hard to...
this is where I admit I've never seen Remember the Titans.
God, what monster! the one part of We Are Marshall that I always talk about is the scene with that. Oh man, I'm blanking on his name now. We coached at Florida State.
Bobby Bowden.
Thank you, Bobby. The Bobby Bowden scene.
He would punch you in the face, man.
Well, not anymore. But that scene with him is amazing, and it shows how good of a guy he is. But Remember the Titans is amazing.
Is We Are Marshall the one with Matthew McConaughey?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm going to go We Are Marshall then.
I'm definitely going to Remember the Titans, though.
Oh, okay. All right. What do you think, Tom? You got an argument one way or the other?
I'm the deciding vote, right?
Or Twitter.
Or Twitter, but I got to trust you more than Twitter.
I think Remember the Titans is a cultural masterpiece, and it's a great story. But We Are Marshall is a true story in the sense that they had to rebuild.
Yeah.
And the depths of emotion that you get watching We Are Marshall are deeper than Remember the Titans.
Oh, okay.
Okay. I can see that. Well,
been to Huntington, West Virginia. I've done games there.
Okay.
Yeah.
So quick side thing that we wanted to ask you about, speaking of West Virginia, you have done a XFL game with probably our favorite person in Pat McAfee.
What was that like?
I also did a bowl game with him.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Pat is he's amazingly talented.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's not the kind of guy that you say, hey, go stand on the sidelines and we'll let you talk when it's your turn to talk.
And that was from what he said. That was kind of his take on it.
Yeah.
Was I've sold out theaters with my ability to talk into microphones, and y'all are telling me when to talk.
Yeah. I don't think he was a fan, and he was really nice to me. I don't mean this, you know, it was personal, but I don't think he was a fan of, like, wait, I have to wait until Tom Hart finishes speaking?
Yeah.
What?
He does seem like that kind of guy. Oh, he does seem pretty authentic and genuine.
Oh, yeah, he's a real dude.
That's awesome.
And he's a superstar. You know, like, it's always interesting when you travel with people that have this great brand recognition and the way fans and other people react to him. So it's fun to see.
Now, the bowl game, was he the sideline guy or were you in the booth with him?
He was a sideline guy, and he made numerous off-color jokes, which speaks to my sense of humor, none that I would share on this podcast. But I wasn't sure it was – it's great for his show. I didn't think it fit on a Saturday afternoon on ABC during the holiday season.
filter, man. Filter.
Did these jokes get to air?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Whoops.
And then he also went out on the field next to the officials for a field goal try. You know, and they stand under their goalposts, and they were polite, but then they're like, bro, you can't get it. You can't be out here.
Joke's over.
Yeah.
Man. Yeah.
Like, yeah. The bit's over. This is.
Yeah. You got to go stand over there.
But I think he's much clearly much better in the booth than as a sideline reporter. But yes, sorry, we had to do that quick side note.
Yeah. So we are Marshall.
We are Marshall. Boom. All right. We got a huge upset there. Then we got Waterboy versus Rudy. And I don't know that this is even a
Waterboy's cool.
Yeah, but Rudy.
But I mean,
it's Rudy.
Now there's another one if we're going by the true story. Rudy Rudiger, notoriously not a great guy.
Waterboy, is that a true story?
No. Not that I know.
One of my buddies is in Waterboy.
Is that
really?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Who?
Well, you wouldn't know him by name. Well, you might know him by name. His name is James Bates. He played football at Florida. He was on one of Spurrier's national championship teams. But he was the character that played, I think it was number 72, where he goes, "I'm going to get you 72. And then he intercepted the ball, and he chased it down in the end zone, and he threw it back to him and then drop-kicked him.
Oh, God, yes.
Is that James Bates? Is that Jim Bates' son?
Yes.
Played for the Cowboys?
Yeah. Oh. No, different Jim Bates.
Different Jim Bates, okay. I was about to say, Waterboy wins.
Long-time assistant coach in college in the NFL. In fact, it was Batesy who told me that, walked me through like how Adam Sandler crews his films.
Yeah.
You know, he's like – and they had this whole group of guys that went from The Waterboy to The Longest Yard, and there was another movie in between there where these guys could just go from film to film, and Adam Sandler would be like, we're shooting next week in Orlando. Show up on Tuesday.
Is that same group that was in Big Daddy, maybe?
Same
group that was in that? Yeah.
I did read somewhere that, and not to get sad here, but the reason he keeps all his friends around him is because of Chris Farley. Losing Farley early, so he just keeps all his friends.
Why to bring it down, dude?
I hated to do it, but
So what are we thinking, Rudy or Waterboy? Because I'm thinking Rudy, right? Yeah. Okay,
Waterboy's great.
I thought Tom almost had us convinced there.
My mama said alligator's so ornery because I got all them teeth and no toothbrush.
Yeah. My apologies to your mother,
So then we've got
Colonel Sanders.
We've got another one that's nostalgia versus just maybe the best sports movie of all time, Rocky versus the Mighty Ducks. And I don't know that there's really conversation here. I don't know how the Ducks, they went through Cool Runnings, Karate Kid to get to where they are right now.
Well, that's a major upset of Karate Kid. I don't see how I can go against Rocky.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, like, they're the strongest one seed in this group.
Yeah.
In this whole bracket, and it's not just the whole story arc, but also. Like doing it for the first time, right? That Rocky is an original movie.
That's very true.
That's right.
And even when you look at these series, I'd say Rocky V is better than Mighty Ducks 3.
That's a heck of a tiebreaker.
you go by their worst movies.
There you go.
Mighty Ducks 3 is definitely its worst movie.
There he goes. Glass half full again. Right? Let's judge you based on your worst day.
That does sound like you, Edward.
I mean, Rocky ended the Cold War, though. Which is something I don't think we can take for granted.
I can change.
What a wild movie Rocky IV is.
The originality argument, though, is really good. Something to keep in mind as we move forward, because that's why we picked Rocky over Raging Bull, right? Because Raging Bull is kind of 3 years after Rocky and Scorsese's attempt to do a Rocky-esque kind of movie. And then we've got our new one, Happy Gilmore versus Caddyshack. And I think this is going to be – I'm tempted to go Caddyshack here, but I'm also want to kind of throw this to Twitter and see what kind of
– Oh, I'm all for that. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Do you have any thoughts on these two movies, though? Which one would you pick if you were?
No, I mean, I think they're very different. Now, if we wanted to go like, which is the OG?
It's, right.
You know, Caddyshack broke the mold.
Mm-hmm.
I've actually, humble brag, I've played that golf course before.
Okay.
Really? Yeah.
All right.
It's around Fort Lauderdale. Now they've changed it around. And I didn't see the pool or the baby Ruth, but
they still have a mole problem.
Gopher.
I'm sorry.
No, Caddyshack is just too good on its own.
We'll throw that with Twitter.
The stories from like behind the scenes of the set of Caddyshack, I think, are amazing. And that's, I mean,
somewhere in my, I'm not a collector, but I have these random items, and I have an autographed photo from Lacey Underall.
Oh wow!
Yeah. Cool, that's awesome.
So you seem
it's
to be—it's
weird.
You got like these little connections. It's all over the.
So weird.
You seem to be a golf fan. Have you ever called golf?
No, but I would.
I've heard it's hard. I wish. I wish. Yeah, you should get all the gigs. If you come
on
this show.
Walk on down here to Bobby Jones and just start calling people's shots. It'd be fine. I think
hey, if you're on this show, you should get all everything. 100%. 100%. But I've heard golf is tough because you have 18 holes with all these monitors and people screaming in your ear all the time. But, you know, and you have to stay so, like, whispery the entire time. But I don't know. I've always wanted to hear from somebody who's called a golf game or golf match. Sorry.
All right, so we're gonna throw.
I feel like I let you down.
You did. You trust me. You have not let me down.
Not at all. Not at all. We're gonna throw Happy Gilmore versus Caddyshack to Twitter, as well as Space Jam versus Semi Pro. Those are two fun ones for the Twitterverse to battle out. And with that, we are done with our Sports Movie Bracket Challenge. Tom, thank you so much for joining us, man. It's so great to have an actual professional with us. I don't know about that.
I mean, this whole event was big. It's kind of sad, but it's mostly fun.
Hey, I appreciate that. Fantastic. We'll put that on our reviews.
Yes.
All right, man.
Tom Hartz is big, sad, and fun for Big Sad Fun.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, thanks,
we'll see you next week.
Yep. Awesome.